The state Senate passed a Republican-sponsored bill yesterday that would ban providing certain types of gender-affirming medical care to people under the age of 18. Governor Tony Evers has promised to veto that bill. It's part of a nationwide wave of legislation on transgender issues, and advocates for transgender youth say even bills that don't become law can send a negative message. Our next guest has been following research on the impact of gender-affirming medical care and the politics related to it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this bill to ban this gender-affirming medical care for minors here in Wisconsin? Would you like to see the governor veto it, as he has said he would, or sign it? Are you or a friend or family member transgender and or seeking the kind of care we're talking about? What is your perspective on this? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Alethea Zamatakis is a research assistant professor at Northwestern University's Institute for Sexual and Gender Minority Health and Well-Being, with a focus on translational health for LGBTQ plus populations. Alethea, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Your research, I understand, focuses on healthcare, but the issue of transgender care has entered the political arena. I understand you're trying to stay on top of current legislation around the country. Can you talk about what you're seeing here in Wisconsin and how it fits into this wider wave of legislation in states?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing in Wisconsin is very similar to what's happening across numerous other states. Wisconsin, as you mentioned, is seeking to pass two bills that would ban gender-affirming care for minors and also ban doctors from performing gender-affirming care on minors and revoking their licenses if they do so. This is fairly in line with 22 other states that have banned gender-affirming care so far, primarily in the South as well as in the Midwest, and five other states that have also made it a felony to provide such care. And so this is really part of a larger pattern of an assault on transgender health and transgender people across the country.
Now, some of the lawmakers in favor of the bill have used terms like mutilation to describe gender-affirming care, referring, I think, to some of the surgeries that might be involved in gender-affirming care. Can you talk us through, though, what gender-affirming medical care consists of for minors of different ages?
Yeah, so gender-affirming care for minors doesn't begin until somewhere between 9 to 12 years old, depending on when an individual starts to go through puberty. For individuals that young, what would happen is they would be prescribed puberty blockers, which essentially delay puberty. They don't prevent puberty. They don't change anything permanently about the body. They just simply stop puberty from happening until the child goes off the blockers. And this allows them the time then to wait until they're about 15 years old, and at that time decide whether they want to go on hormone replacement therapy in order to develop breasts and, for example, to not develop a deeper voice or other quote-unquote masculine features for transgender girls, or to go on testosterone and start to develop facial hair, broader facial features, for example, for transgender boys. Transgender kids really in general do not have surgeries. Most places, especially in Wisconsin, do not provide gender-affirming surgeries to individuals under 18. Children's Wisconsin, for example, only provides gender-affirming top surgery to patients 18 and older, and the same goes for UW Health. For any type of gender-affirming care that children are receiving, they have to first undergo extensive evaluation by therapists and social workers, providers, receive parental support. And, you know, this isn't happening, as some legislators have tried to say, to three-year-olds or four-year-olds. Gender-affirming care isn't something in this way that is needed until they reach puberty. Otherwise, gender-affirming care looks like providing children with access to therapy and social workers to help them cope with a world that, you know, really isn't made for other kids like them.
Alethea Zematakis is with us from Northwestern University's Institute for Sexual and Gender Minority Health and Well-Being, talking about gender-affirming medical care after the state legislature passed a ban on that kind of care for people under 18. The governor expected to veto it. You can join in with your thoughts or your questions or maybe your own experiences in your family at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Alethea, when it comes to starting on puberty blockers, people might hear, okay, age 9 to 12. That's pretty young for a pretty big decision, even if made with in consultation with parents and healthcare professionals. Can you talk about what a little more about what goes into that decision in that age range?
Yeah, so really what goes into the decision is extensive consultation with the parent and the child to ensure that they fully understand what is happening, that they understand that, you know, this is not just a decision that they are coming into one day and changing the next, but that this is something extensive, and that they will have to continue to come in and receive ongoing monitoring. There are extensive psychological examinations to evaluate essentially whether a child is experiencing what's called gender dysphoria, or in other words, a sort of anxiety that results from a mismatch between how one sees themselves and what their body looks like. And those evaluations, you know, work to suss out if there are issues of body dysmorphia or gender dysmorphia, whether depression or anxiety or other co-occurring mental health concerns might be factoring into the child's concerns at the moment. And then only after those consultations is the child able to actually begin puberty blockers.
What do we know about research when it comes to, you know, the impact of starting puberty blockers for that kid, say age 9 to 12, versus somebody in the same position with gender dysphoria who doesn't get that? What are the trade-offs? What are the pros and cons of doing it versus not doing it?
Yeah, the benefits of doing it are huge. Gender-affirming care not only is highly safe, but individuals undergoing care as children have enormous benefits. Studies have found that transgender youth who've received such care are 60% less likely to develop depression, 73% less likely to be suicidal. Gender-affirming care also boosts overall mood and happiness. It boosts and enhances relationship stability, ability to really focus and participate in school. And it additionally, you know, ensures that these effects remain over their lifetime. For transgender adults who begin gender-affirming care later in life because they didn't have access to it as a child, there can be an increase in distress in terms of that gender dysphoria because of differences that have emerged because of puberty, such as a deeper voice, which is something that really, for the most part, can't be surgically treated. And so puberty blockers really allow a child to have control over what their body will look like in the future. And as I said, the effects are entirely reversible of puberty blockers. So if a child starts them and at 15 or 16 or 17 says, actually, I want to go through puberty the way my body otherwise would have, they are able to stop puberty blockers and fully begin the process of puberty as they otherwise would have. Children are extensively monitored for any minimal side effects, such as there can be slight calcium loss, for example, but there are ways to prevent that and treat that that doctors really watch out for. And we know that research tracking transgender people has found that only 1% of trans people actually experience any type of regret from receiving this type of care as children or as adults, which is much lower than many other types of care that is regularly provided without any attempts to ban it by legislators.
We're talking to Alethea Zematakis, research assistant professor at Northwestern University's Institute for Sexual and Gender Minority Health and Well-Being. She's helping us understand a bill that would ban gender-affirming medical care for youth in Wisconsin and how it affects transgender people. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest? Thoughts on this effort in the state legislature? Do you want to see the governor block it or no? If you're a medical professional, do you work with the LGBTQ plus community? Do you do some of the treatments that we're talking about, if you'd care to share your experience? Or if you've been through this yourself as a parent, a child, please call in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation with Alethea Zamatakis, Research Assistant Professor at Northwestern University's Institute for Sexual and Gender Minority Health and Well-Being, talking with her about a bill that, if it were signed into law, would ban gender-affirming medical care for minors in Wisconsin, passed both chambers with Republican backing in the legislature. Governor Evers, Democrat, expected to veto the bills. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Another few minutes if you want to join in. Do you have questions about gender-affirming medical care, what the Wisconsin bill would and wouldn't do? What do you want to see happen? Is this affecting your life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Alethea, I know there are concerns about whether or not bills like these end up becoming law. The fact of their introduction being seen as sending a message to transgender youth and their families, the trans community as a whole. What do you see the potential impact there?
Yeah, the impact is huge. We know from other states that have worked to pass similar legislation that even when it's vetoed by the governor, you know, these types of bills send transgender children and their families into a state of panic. Families have to question, you know, do I need to find a job elsewhere? Do we need to move? How do I take care of my child? And most people can't afford to just pick up and move across state borders. And so then, you know, for parents who are trying to be supportive systems for their children, that's a high level of distress to know that really there is nothing in that moment you can do to protect your child from legislators who are seeking to pass bills further oppressing them. For children themselves, transgender kids already have higher rates of depression, anxiety, and suicidality than non-transgender children. And these types of bills only increase those rates by telling children that people like them are not wanted here, are not welcome here, are seen as mentally ill, are seen as having bodies that are quote unquote mutilated. You know, very dehumanizing language that is used in order to refer to transgender people in order to pass these bills that really affects the ongoing health of transgender children and adults. But also, in addition to that, as legislators attempt to pass these bills, they spread a ton of misinformation. You know, when they speak about children 3 years old receiving surgeries, when they speak about these surgeries as mutilation, when they speak about gender-affirming care as somehow lacking evidence, despite the backing of numerous studies detailing that it is a fully safe and beneficial process. This type of information is spread to the public, and the public then spreads it to other people that they know. And this misinformation spreads like wildfire, further perpetuating these myths, this misinformation, and this dehumanizing language beyond just the legislature.
We are talking about gender-affirming medical care. A bill in Wisconsin would ban it. Governor Evers expected to veto it. The concerns have been raised by Republican sponsors of this bill, Alethea, that, you know, yes, the medical community opposes this ban for the most part in Wisconsin. Republicans arguing that research can change, views can change, and that we may change our mind on this. What do you think of that?
100% research can change. But in terms of whether or not research changes to say that gender affirming care is no longer beneficial, that is just entirely implausible. numerous studies have evaluated thousands of transgender youth and adults across the country, and not just in the United States, but in other countries as well. And this research continues to show the same effects and the same level of safety of these procedures. The reality is that any changes in research regarding gender-affirming care will be research studying how to enhance this care, research studying how to ensure better access to this type of care, not research finding that gender-affirming care is suddenly no longer beneficial. That's simply not how the science works.
Time for one quick call. Elise is with us in Ashland. Elise, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up?
Fantastic. Well, just that, you know, I've been seeing these bills come up in so many different states. I live in Wisconsin. I'm trans. And my boyfriend lives in Missouri. My fiance, actually, lives in Missouri, and he's trans the other direction. And just saying it's about kids is always such a stalking horse, right? Because we've seen this come up in so many other states, and in many of them, they say, oh, it's a ban for minors, but they define minors as anyone under 26 or anyone under 30. And then in Missouri a few weeks ago, the attorney general unilaterally banned it for everyone, including adults. Now, that was ultimately struck down by the courts, but I mean, you know, we can see this is their goal, and this is not.
Elise, we just have a few moments left. Thanks for calling. Alethea, this spreading, and that's true in some states, as Elise says, to older ages as well.
Yes, 100% true. And primarily for transgender adults, these bans are attempting ban the care being provided through Medicaid, for example. And so really what we see is that legislators will continue to attack trans children, will continue to attack poor trans people, and will continue to spread this further as an ongoing assault on transgender people.
Alethea, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Alethea Zamatakis, research assistant professor at Northwestern University's Institute for Sexual and Gender Minority Health and Well-Being. We talked to her about legislation that would ban gender-affirming medical care for minors in Wisconsin. It passed the legislature. Governor Evers is expected to veto it.